Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Going to give you a brief update on what is going on here in the Africa Mission. The children are out of school now, so I go out to the children's home every day and pray with them about 10 a.m. And so there, some of them are doing their studies, their homework. Others are just playing. And then at the church compound, we're building a dining hotel or a dining room. It'll be an outdoor type dining room, which you can sit outdoors most of the year here, most of the time here in Kenya. And so we'll have that project finished in a couple of weeks and start serving some simple meals, some tea, coffee, and pastries and different things. And that will be a church project. We're going to hire church people and put a little money in a church coffer. And so that is the projects we have going right now. We're planning a crusade over in Arusha in Tanzania later in the summer, possibly June. And so that will be on the docket for this summer. And Arusha is a big city, about 1 million, 2 million people. And it's a mostly Christian town, so it should be a great place for a crusade. And so we're looking forward to that as we make preliminary plans. So today we're going to be talking, as I spoke, about the book of Jonah. And this is a small book, only 4 chapters, but it has a big message. And it is a sign to us about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus himself referred to the book of Jonah as being a sign book. And by sign book, S-I-G-N, I mean that this book points to Jesus Christ. It is actually more than pointing to Jesus Christ. It is actually a foreshadowing of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so you have to view this book and understand this book in that light. It's not just a story about a man getting swallowed by a fish. That's what we all learned when we were children. But there's much more to it than that. And so we're going to learn about the deeper message, about the foreshadowing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the book of Jonah. Well, first I'm going to take us to a scripture in the book of Matthew. And this is in Matthew chapter 12. And starting in verse 38, Jesus is there with the Pharisees, and they're asking him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." And the Pharisees and others of that day were always asking Jesus for a sign. They always wanted him to perform a miracle or do something magnificent. They couldn't just accept him for what he was. They had to have some kind of astounding revelation or some kind of a miracle from him. And so Jesus said to them, he answered to them, verse 39, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." And so Jesus said, I'm not going to just do some tricks for you to amuse you or satisfy your curiosity. He said, no sign will be given to this evil and adulterous generation except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Well, what was he talking about, the sign of the prophet Jonah? Well, of course, the Pharisees knew the story of Jonah. It was in the Old Testament scrolls that they studied all the time. And of course, Jesus knew the story of the prophet Jonah. And so this small book, which was written hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus walked the earth, Jesus said, this is a sign of me. And so if you understand the book of Jonah, if you understand the story of Jonah, you're going to understand my mission and why I'm here, what I'm doing here on the earth. And so in verse 40, Jesus goes on to say, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." And you notice Jesus says here, in the heart of the earth. He didn't say in the grave. He said in the heart of the earth, which we now know to be deep inside the heart of the earth. And so we'll talk about that here in a little bit. Jesus wasn't just saying he was going to be 3 days in the grave. And so Jesus then has now prophesied that he's going to be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And so he refers to the book of Jonah, to the story of Jonah, because we know that Jonah was also, as we will look at the scripture regarding Jonah, we will know that he is also going to be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish. And so in verse 41, then Jesus says, "The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here." Well, Nineveh is a city. It was a city of about 120,000, we find out, reading the book of Jonah, of sinful people, very wicked people. They didn't know their right hand from their left in terms of salvation or in terms of repentance. And so Jesus said that the men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it because they repented. And so when Jonah went to Nineveh, he preached the gospel and he told them to repent, and they did repent. They were obedient. They did repent. And so they received salvation. They received remission of their sins and redemption. And so Jesus said that those people in Nineveh who received the message and repented, that they will condemn the people of this generation who do not repent and who do not receive the message of Jesus Christ. And so we have that same situation today. There are some who receive the message. There are some who understand that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. When they get the word preached to them, when they get the gospel word preached to them, they repent, they turn from their wicked ways. And so they are also just like the people of Nineveh. And Jesus said that they're going to condemn those who don't receive the message now, because the people of Nineveh received, they repented, and they received that redemption that only God and only Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, can provide for their redemption. And then Jesus closes this passage of scripture, this little conversation, he closes it by saying, "And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here." And Jesus didn't boast too much about himself. In fact, many times he didn't say hardly anything about himself. But he said, there's something greater going on here right now than what was happening in Jonah's day, or what was happening with Jonah. And so that is the prophecy. Matthew 12, Jesus said, a sign will be given to you, and it is the sign of Jonah the prophet. And so then in Matthew 17:22, "Now while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and the third day he will be raised up.'" And so Jesus again prophesies that the third day that he will be raised up, that he will be in the tomb 3 days. He didn't mention Jonah in that passage of scripture, but he is saying that on the third day, the Son of Man will be raised up. And so these references to Jesus being in the heart of the earth then give us an indication, even before we get to the end of the book of Matthew, to give us an indication of what is going to happen with Jesus and how it relates to Jonah being in the belly of the whale. Well, now let's go back to the book of Jonah. If you have your Bible there again, it's right after Obadiah in the Old Testament. Just a small book, 4 chapters. You can read it in 30 minutes or 45 minutes, and I suggest you do that. If you've never read through the book of Jonah, I'm sure you've probably heard the stories of Jonah being swallowed by the fish, but if you've never read it, please do. It's a very, very interesting book, and we're going to take it verse by verse and possibly get through the first chapter or two today, but we're going to take it verse by verse and see how this book is a sign pointing to Jesus. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Well, just a commentary here on that verse 2. The Lord sees everyone on the earth. The Lord sees every city. He sees every nation. He sees every individual. He knows whether a city and a person is doing wickedness. He knows whether a city and an individual is practicing righteousness, and whether a nation is practicing righteousness. The Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And so the Lord sees, the Lord knows, and so the Lord has a charge for every single person. If you're a born-again believer, if you know the message, which obviously Jonah knew the message, God had already chosen him to be the messenger. And so if you know the message of the gospel, if you know the message that Jesus saves, the hope for all eternity, the hope for salvation for every single person, if you know that message, God is going to send you somewhere to speak that message. And beloved, if you're sitting in the pew every Sunday warming the pew and you don't have any desire to get out and share the gospel message, you don't have any desire to see other people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you don't have any desire to move out of that pew and go share the message, there's something wrong with your understanding of the gospel, something wrong with your understanding of how the gospel is to be spread, how the government of Jesus Christ is to be spread. Beloved, if you know the message, God has put on your heart somewhere, somehow, in some way, to go share that message and to give other people the hope for all eternity, that same hope that you have. And so be prepared to go, just as Jonah was called to go to Nineveh. Well, a second commentary about that place, Nineveh, it was an exceedingly wicked place, because God says their wickedness has come up before me. Well, beloved, you don't get to pick and choose who you want to preach to. Yes, in some ways you do get to, but God is going to show you people that need to know the gospel, that need to know the message of salvation, and he will show you those people. And some of them, maybe all of them, may be exceedingly wicked. I don't know where God is going to send you. He may send you into the prison. He may send you to another country. He may send you to people who have another religion, who don't want to hear about Jesus, who don't want to hear the good news of the gospel. I don't know where he is going to send you, but Jonah had no desire to go to Nineveh because in his eyes, these people were not worth saving. In his eyes, these people were too far gone. They were too wicked. They were too, you might say, valueless to the kingdom of God. And beloved, if you get that attitude, you're never going to be able to preach to anybody. I've talked to many people because for years I did prison ministry, did thousands of services in the prison, and I've talked to many people about coming into prison, and many times you'll get this kind of response. Well, I just think you should throw the key away and not bother with those people. They're getting what they deserve, and so be it. And I'm not going to bother myself with going to preach in the prison or going to play music in the prison. I'm not going to bother myself with that because those people are beyond redemption and they're just in a place where God wants them now. So leave them be. Well, beloved, that's a very bad attitude. It's not Jesus' attitude. The attitude of Jesus is when you have 100 sheep and 99 are in the fold and there's one out there lost in the wilderness, you leave the 99 and you go to that one that is out there in the wilderness. You go to that one that is lost. You reach out. You try to find him. You reach out and you grab him and you put him on your shoulders and you carry him back to the sheepfold. That is Jesus' attitude. And so he sees the wicked just like he sees the righteous. They are children of the living God, they're made in the image of God, and their wickedness has separated them from God, but they are of value, they are worth redemption, they are capable of redemption, they're capable of salvation, and the blood of Jesus is sufficient to cover the sins of every wicked person. I don't care drug dealers, I don't care prostitutes, I don't care whatever they've done, whatever they are, how many years they're in the prison, how many years they've been lost, or their families or their tribes have been lost. They are worthy of redemption, and the blood of Jesus is sufficient to bring them into the fold of Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. Well, in verse 3, Jonah did what we oftentimes do. It says, Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And so many times we get a call from the Lord. Many times the Lord puts it in our heart through the Holy Spirit, through the counsel of the Holy Spirit, to go speak somewhere, maybe to go to the prison, maybe go on a mission trip, maybe just walk down the street and talk to a neighbor, invite them to church or invite them to a Bible study, and we go to Tarshish. We go the other way. And I've read some accounts that say that Tarshish was 1,500 miles or some such great distance in the other direction from Nineveh. And Nineveh, of course, was over in what we would say now Iraq, over in the Middle East. And so it was some distance from Israel. And so Tarshish was in the complete opposite direction, and Jonah thought he could run from God. Well, beloved, let me tell you that God says obedience is better than sacrifice. And so when you are obedient to the Lord, it pleases the Lord. It gives the Lord delight. Delight yourself in the Lord. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And so, beloved, when you delight yourself in the Lord, which means that you are obedient to the Lord, you enjoy being in the presence of the Lord, you enjoy carrying out the mission and the charge that the Lord has given you, when you do that, then he will give you the desires of your heart. Beloved, when you delight yourself in the Lord, you're going to find peace, you're going to find fulfillment that you've never known on this earth. And beloved, that is the place, if you are a born-again believer, that is the place that you want to be. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Beloved, Jesus was obedient to the Father, even to the point of death. He was obedient to the Father. He picked up his cross. He carried it up that mountain as far as he could, and then someone else helped him, but he carried that cross up as far as he could. He went to the cross. He went to his death on the cross out of obedience to his Father, because he knew that the mission that his Father had for him was the mission for all mankind, the redemption for all mankind. And so if you want to be a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ, Matthew 16:24 says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Beloved, you have to deny yourself. You have to say, Jesus, where do you want me to go with my cross? And Jesus will show you someplace. It's probably not going to be Nineveh, but it may be. He's going to show you someplace where you can carry your cross and you can be obedient to take the message of the gospel to a lost and wicked generation. Well, Matthew 16:25, continuing in that scripture, Jesus says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Beloved, if you're sitting on your life and you're trying so hard to save it, what your idea of your life should look like, what your idea of what you should be doing, what that looks like. If you try so hard to save that, you're going to lose your life. And Jesus said, but if you give up your life, if you lose your life for my sake, you're going to find it. And that's what I spoke a minute ago about fulfillment. You're going to have fulfillment when you're doing the work of the gospel, when you are seeking the Lord and seeking His will for your life. Beloved, when I came to Africa, I had no real desire to come here. I didn't know one single person in Africa, not one missionary or anybody who was here at the time. And so, beloved, when you come to a place when you say, Jesus, send me where you want me to go, He will send you someplace that you don't even know about. He will send you someplace that you have no real, in your natural mind, in your natural heart, you have no real desire to go to that place. And if you are obedient to the Lord, you're going to go to places that you didn't even know exist, and you will find out that the Lord has a plan for you, and it wasn't anything that you even knew about. And so Jonah has become now this disobedient rebel, and he's rebelling against the Lord. And so in verse 3 it says, Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he was running from God. He was running from God. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into the ship to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Well, if you are running from God now, if you're running from the presence of the Lord, I call on you, I ask you, I admonish you today, stop running from God. Some of you out there listening to me today, you've been running from God for years. You don't want to give up pot smoking, or you don't want to give up drinking, you don't want to give up rebellion. I say to you today, stop running from God, and you will find contentment. You will find your life. If you lay down your life for Jesus Christ, you're going to find your life, and you will find peace and contentment and fulfillment that you've never had before. And you can stop battling the drugs, you can stop battling pornography, you can stop battling rebellion and fornication, you can stop those things in your life easily when you have the Holy Spirit of God with you and the message and the charge, the commission of Jesus Christ with you, and you're going to find purpose for your life that you never had before in your life. Well, verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. And so the mariners were very afraid. Every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. And so the captain came to Jonah and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. Well, the other people, including the captain that were on the ship, they knew that this man Jonah, that this storm was because of him, because he was the only one that was able to lay down and sleep in the midst of this storm. And so they knew there was something going on with him that was peculiar, and it wasn't like the other people on the ship. And so Jonah in verse 12, he says, pick me up and throw me into the sea, and then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. And so the people that were on the ship, the other sailors, they picked Jonah up and they threw him into the sea. They knew that he was the cause of this, that his God was angry. They knew that he was the cause of this great tempest that was coming against them, because they knew it was a very peculiar storm. And so they picked Jonah up, verse 15, and they threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. And then in verse 17 is this part we all know from our childhood. Now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Well, there it is right there, beloved. The Jonah, the rebellious one, the rebel, he was in the belly of the fish now for 3 days and three nights. So his running from the Lord, his running from the presence of the Lord has taken him first from Israel to now towards out on the sea towards Tarshish, and now he's in the belly of a fish, and I'm sure he's wondering how his journey is going to end. I'm sure he's wondering where his journey will end. Is he going to live? Is he going to die? Is he going to finish out his days out there inside this fish out there in the Mediterranean Sea? Well, this is a great story. We'll continue with it, chapter 2, coming up next week. But the main takeaway from this story, beloved, if you are running from God as Jonah is, if you're running from God, stop it today. Turn to the Lord. You can have salvation. Salvation is available for you today. The blood of Jesus covers your sin today. It doesn't matter how long you've been running. It doesn't matter how far away from God you are. If you want to turn from your wicked ways, if you want to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and receive redemption, receive the covering of His blood today, you can do that today. Get down on your knees. Thank the Lord for this day. Repent of your sins. Say, Jesus, I want to serve you. I want to be your servant and you be my Lord and my Savior. And beloved, follow it up with Christian baptism, immersion baptism, and you are on your way to Nineveh to preach the gospel to that wicked generation. Well, thank you for listening today. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. We praise the Lord for this message today. If you would like to support this ministry, we invite your support. We'd love to hear from you. Stay tuned for contact information. Sit down, write us out a check, let us know you're listening, and we will be happy to receive your prayers and your support as we go forward in our Africa mission and with this radio broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.